And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Nerdy Notions with Sasha Kaplan.
Hey, everybody. So today we kind of can't avoid this topic because it's still so fresh in everybody's emotional feeling departments. So we're going to be talking about Marvel's announcement this past, or announcements, I should say, this past weekend at San Diego Comic-Con. And given the fact that I am a Marvel junkie, I couldn't just like sit there and wait for the official announcements. I had to be eavesdropping on the panel somehow. So there was somebody that was doing kind of like some live posting of the panel. And so I got the scoop as everybody else was getting it. So sadly, of course, I didn't get to see all of the footage that was released. But we're going to be talking about them, these things, in order in which they were announced. So first things first is, of course, the Eternals movie. So at the panel, they showed us the cast. Looks like the cast is going to be very diverse. You've got Angelina Jolie and Salma Hayek joining the cast of Eternals. And it seems like it's going to be a really big cast, definitely star-studded, with some very famous folks, because Marvel's cool now. Comic book nerds are like the it crowd now, guys. Remember the days when we had to hide in basements to read comic books and people would make fun of us?
No, I don't.
I remember people looking at me weird in high school when I would read comic books. Even my friends who were also like ridiculously nerdy and in like into anime would like give me like a second look when I would start talking about superheroes and comic books. But now they're into it too. So like,
I'm the one who is like, I don't care. But yet again, I was also the guy in high school walking around wearing a trench coat, walking with a 12 pack of soda with me.
You just had to be special.
Yes. Yes, very.
So nobody's really, I don't know about you, but I'm not that familiar with the Eternals comic. I vaguely knew of its existence when there's rumors started circling about it. I know that it has like something to do with space stuff and it's like other galaxies or something, or otherworldly or something, maybe?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with Eternals myself, but one of the big draws to this is that it's actually the first full-blown diverse cast, because you have Richard Madden, Kumail Nanjiani, who is actually currently in the film Stuber with Dave Bautista, which I saw the advanced screening at AwesomeCon, so go see that. It's worth it. Hopefully you just won't have some press person sitting behind you hooting and hollering throughout the entire film. That was not fun. Lauren Ridloff, Brian Tree Henry, Salma Hayek, who actually becomes the first Mexican superhero in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Leah McHugh, Don Lee, and as you mentioned, Angelina Jolie, who has a thing now for doing Disney movies.
Disney owns her soul, which does kind of explain the trailer for Maleficent 2, not going to lie.
Yeah. Eternals was announced that it will be debuting in theaters on November 6, 2020.
So this is an offshoot of, I guess, the evolutionary process that created sentient life on Earth. So this is like semi-ancient, semi-like, so there's some like otherworldly aspect to it. Fictional species of humanity appearing in the American comic book published by Marvel, they described as an offshoot of the evolutionary process. So we shall see what happens. It makes sense. I guess Marvel, you know, took a very unknown comic, Guardians of the Galaxy. Nobody really expected. Nobody knew kind of what to expect from it. So I'm glad that they went with that and that it sounds like it's going to be a pretty interesting story either way. Moving on to number two announcement was, of course, Falcon Winter Soldier. And Anthony Mackie did reveal in an interview at the convention that he has already done a fitting for his new Captain America suit, which is very exciting. And I guess, and then people who have been to San Diego can correct me, but from what I understood, Anthony Mackie offered Sebastian Stan the shield just to kind of hold it for a second. And he's like, okay, no, give it back. And it seems like the two actors have really great chemistry with each other. They seem to be friends, and that can only translate well into the show. Something that they also revealed at the convention is that it looks like Baron Zemo is going to be back.
Yes, there is a video package for it.
He's going to have his mask. I guess from what I understood, the mask is sadly not purple. It's black, but it's still the mask. We'll see what it actually looks like when that's released for to the main public to look at, but that should be pretty exciting.
Yes, yeah, so Daniel Brühl, who is the actor who played Baron Zemo, will be returning, and he did a video package that actually interrupted Anthony Mackie, saying that he'll be seeing them very soon and then put on the mask that was based off what was in the comics. That is set for a debut on Disney Plus in the fall of 2020.
Yep. And rounding off, next we have, before we get into when all this stuff's coming out, we have Shang-Chi. And, you know, Shang-Chi was a surprise, but I'm very glad that Marvel is kind of taking the plunge for it because it's, again, increasing diversity in the Marvel Universe. It's also maybe kind of working to continue Marvel's trend of trying to move past some of the earlier iteration of some of these characters where things were a little less progressive, shall we say. But what's really cool about this is that the official title for Shang-Chi is called, I think it's like Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings.
And the Legend of the Ten Rings.
The Legend of the Ten Rings. Thank you.
Yep.
So
it'll be starring Tony Leung as the Mandarin, Awkwafina, yes, that's her name, in an undisclosed role. The movie's director is Destin Daniel Cretton, and then entered to help introduce the film was the film star Shang-Chi himself, Simu Liu. The film will be coming out on February 12, 2021.
And what's really amazing about the fact that this film is happening is not just Shang-Chi and the diversity of it, as the fact that they confirmed for us, just in case anybody was concerned, that they are finally introducing the real Mandarin.
Yep. Which would be played by Tony Leung.
And I haven't seen him in anything, but just looking at him, like, I can picture that, like, cold-hearted, like, aspect of the Mandarin that would be incredible to see on the big screen. And I'm definitely, when I was kind of doing like what are my like top three like things from this announcement, and I think maybe top five, Shang-Chi is definitely in there at like number three or number four, just because it sounds amazing. It seems like they have a good team and it's going to be a pretty interesting film.
And it's still rumored that Donnie Yen will be a part of the film, which makes me super excited because I'm a huge Donnie Yen fan. I have a bunch of his movies imported from China.
All right, this is my number one announcement that had me like over the moon, and that is WandaVision. So I just did a post on my blog about this because I'm really sick of the Wanda bashing. I'm sick of the Elizabeth Olsen bashing because she, for various reasons. So just like, let it go, people. Wanda is an amazing character. I think that like one of the issues is that throughout her appearances, Whedon, first of all, butchered both her and Pietra's characters in Age of Ultron, in my opinion. But aside from that, there's been some development with her when it came to Civil War, then Infinity War, and she's gotten better. And I think this is a really great opportunity to develop the character further to finally, as Elizabeth Olsen told us when she came out on the stage, to get Wanda back to like her Scarlet Witchness, which is the part that like I love. And I love the fact that Elizabeth Olsen, who plays Wanda, has been, first of all, when she was initially cast as Wanda, Marvel apparently, like, when the actors are initially cast, gives them like a little bit of a packet of like certain issues of comics to read, just so they kind of get an idea of what the character is that they're playing. So Elizabeth literally dived into everything that they gave her and then asked for more and then asked for more. And they were kind of a little reluctant to give her all of this because, you know, the character would be so much different than the comic, but this did something magical. I think, first of all, Elizabeth became a giant comic book nerd, so yay. But I think it also helped to give her a good understanding of who and what Wanda is. And because of this, she was able to help others see Wanda this way. And I'm just looking forward to this because we don't know what's going to happen with this. What's really interesting is, of course, Paul Bettany will be back as the Vision. How he'll be back, he doesn't know either, but he'll be back.
Also, interesting fact you mentioned about how Elizabeth got all those comic books. One of the things about the comics, though, is that Wanda, Scarlet Witch's attire is a little scantily clad. One of the things that she actually requested was an actual attire change to make it less scantily clad.
Which is a good thing, and we all appreciate it for it. Nobody needs that leotard.
Yeah, and then one of the things that also happened when Paul Bettany and Elizabeth Olsen were on stage, they were joined on stage by MCU newcomer Teyonah Parris.
We'll be playing Monica Rambeau. Now, for those that don't remember, Monica was the cute little girl from Captain Marvel that we saw for like 5 seconds and who was adorable and sassy. I don't know how she fits in. My guess, this is partially a way to get people more hyped for WandaVision because they're not that popular characters, I guess. But on the other hand, it's a great way to maybe tie in WandaVision into Captain Marvel 2. I don't know, but the fact that we're getting Monica Rambeau in anything just makes me excited because she is the one and only Captain Marvel that I will accept anywhere. And I think that'll be a really amazing character just to add to the dynamic.
And of course, for those who are confused, who saw Captain Marvel going, but wait a minute, Monica was a child. Yeah, that was also based in the 90s. So this is obviously updated, older character for today's time. So,
you know, in case the AOL jokes weren't a hint enough already.
Yeah.
So this should be fun. I could gush about, and I love the fact that like Elizabeth and Paul Bettany have like this really great chemistry. They both really like the characters that they play and they love the dynamic that they have between the two of them. Just look at the interviews they did for Infinity War. They are great. And I look forward to, hopefully they won't re-kill Vision or ruin him.
There was a line that Paul said on stage when he was on there, and it was kind of along the lines of like, you know, last time I was on stage, I got killed. I have no idea what I'm doing here. It was kind of along those lines, and I just remember seeing the GIF for it with the subtitles. I just kind of chuckled.
And this kind of ties into another announcement that we'll be talking about in a little bit, but Wanda is finally, the way that the universe is working is Wanda is finally going to get her real powers back because Joss Whedon is pain that is Joss Whedon. I'm glad that Wanda will finally be getting her true powers back, which like, it kind of seems like they've been building off on it and kind of like slowly trying to introduce them because the powers that she has in Civil War and Infinity War don't really match exactly what Whedon started in Age of Ultron, and I'm glad. It's still similar, but it's like it's advancing, and I hope that's a good thing. So this is coming out spring of 2021, which cannot come soon enough. This is on my bottom tier list, personally. Like, you know, there's a top five, and then there's a bottom five out of 10. This is the part of the bottom five. And this is the Loki series, which is also coming out on Disney Plus, spring of 2021. Look, I'll be honest, I don't care about Loki. Like, I don't. When he died, I laughed. I loved, and look, don't misunderstand me. Tom Hiddleston is like a national treasure. He's a very cute British treasure, and he's a great actor. The way that he portrays Loki is amazing. I think he's wonderful. I just really hate Loki. Like, there are some characters that you love and adore, and there's some characters that you just don't like. And for me, it has nothing to do with Tom or even the way that Loki is written. This is one of those cases where, unfortunately, the fandom has ruined the character for me. But
one good thing is that for those who have watched Endgame, and if you haven't, you're definitely under a rock, this will answer the question of where did Loki go when he took the Space Stone?
Yep, so this takes place during the Avengers 1 in between the shenanigans of Endgame.
During the time heist.
Don't question it. So that should be another interesting Disney Plus series. We'll see who else will be in the cast and who they'll add. It would be interesting to see like Loki team up with other characters. Be funny if... I don't even know who, but just anybody from the Marvel Universe that he interacts with. Hell, bring in Jasper Sitwell. That would just be funny. Just because. I don't know, but it would be. So that's an interesting series to go to. We shall see what happens with it. This is the second announcement that I was super excited about coming up here next. This is a sequel. This is the only sequel that was announced, technically. And it's coming out May 7th, 2021. And this is Doctor Strange, and the Multiverse of Madness. So first, we are told that the events of WandaVision will directly tie into Doctor Strange, which makes sense because my guess is if Doctor Strange is coming out in May, that means WandaVision will probably come out either May or March or April 2021, just so that we can watch that beforehand and be ready for Doctor Strange. So Wanda will be full Scarlet Witch. She will have her powers like she was supposed to from the beginning. And what's interesting is that this is going to be a little bit more of a horror theme.
No, from what I read, this is the first actual horror film, straight up. So this is like, you know, it's comic
New Mutants. Oh, wait, we can't yet.
Like, it's very interesting that they're going to go the horror route. And while there's not a lot said about it yet, and we'll probably find out more next year at San Diego Comic-Con. The fact that they openly admitted that this is going to be more of a horror film, it intrigues me, especially the fact that a lot of horror films today suck.
It kind of worries me, mostly because I'm not a horror fan, so I guess it just depends on what their definition of horror is, because horror is a very broad, just like comedy or romance, it's a very broad genre that could mean almost anything.
Yeah. And it also doesn't help that most horror films today suck.
Because, no, you can correct me because, again, not a horror fan, but it seems to me like they're more relying on jump scares and fear factor than telling an actually compelling and interesting story that does kind of terrify you.
Yeah, that's why majority of the films suck these days, because they're looking for the quick thrill. And honestly, I don't know how any of those films do good, but being how this is Marvel Studios, we'll probably get a horror film that actually is good and worth watching because of what you also just stated for story.
It can't be that scary. It's only going to be PG-13. But my guess is it'll be more horror imagery as opposed to like jump scares and things. If we're if it's genuinely going through a multiverse of madness, then we're going to see some creepy shit.
Yes. I agree.
I think somebody told me that Nightmare, who is a Doctor Strange antagonist, is going to be the villain here. I think it would be cool to see Mephisto in here. Partially because I'm holding out for a Young Avengers movie, and I will talk about this at the end because rumor has it it's coming, but we'll talk about that at the end when we kind of discuss what is coming up in the Marvel Universe that wasn't announced. So definitely looking forward to Doctor Strange and Madness. Next, we have What If. Now, Feige seemed really excited when he announced this, so this intrigues me because this is going to be an animated series for Disney Plus, and it's going to ask, it's based off the comic called What If, which basically just answers random What If questions. What if, you know, Magneto started the school for gifted youngers instead of Charles Xavier? What if Uncle Ben became Spider-Man instead of Peter Parker? What if... I got nothing else, but that gives you an idea. These are not real what if questions. These are what if questions that I just proposed to you because I'm fun like that. But it's going to be animated. There was rumors of a female Captain America appearing, or Peggy Carter as Captain America.
Yeah. That's actually the first episode. The first episode is the what if Peggy Carter took on the mantle of Captain America.
What if Netflix and Disney didn't cancel the Netflix shows and I got my Danny Cage's Captain America?
One thing that was announced was Jeffrey Wright will be the voice of the Watcher, who will also be the narrator of the series. Also, pretty much every actor in the MCU is going to be coming back to voice their characters.
Which is just awesome. And I think... I'm trying to think, have any of them done any voice acting before? Off the top of my head, I think Paul Bettany has. Benedict Cumberbatch definitely has. Saldana has.
Well, the big thing is that they're going to be voicing just their characters.
True, but it's interesting. So, should be fairly easy and a lot of fun. All right, look.
And that's summer of 2021.
Yep. 2020 and 2021 are going to be pretty big for Disney Plus and Marvel content. All right, look, I'm going to say this right now. This pissed me off. I'm not going to shy away from this. It did. The last three announcements just gutted me and made me very annoyed. So we're going to start with Hawkeye. So look, Hawkeye is a great character. He definitely deserves his own Disney Plus series. And the actor who plays him, Jeremy Renner, was like super excited to announce it and come out on stage. And he's really excited to like continue Hawkeye's journey as Ronin. But then there's a little snag that I have issues with. Kate Bishop is going to be in this because reasons. Look, Kate used to be a very great character, used to be, before she got thrown in a blender. But here's the thing. And in the series, this is another Disney Plus series, Clint is going to be mentoring a new young superhero named Kate Bishop. Look, Kate Bishop does not need Clint. Clint needs Kate Bishop. Kate became a superhero while Clint was dead. She got the name Hawkeye while Clint was dead. She did not even meet him until long after she became Hawkeye because he was dead. Have I mentioned that he was dead yet?
About four times.
Kate,
Can you say it like 16 more times real quick?
He was dead. Kate does not need Clint. Clint, like, I think this would have been a great opportunity to do an origin story for Clint because just like with Black Widow, and we'll get to that, we don't know much about him. Like, sure, he's got a farm with kids, but like, how did he meet his wife? We know where the kids came from, but like, how did he join S.H.I.E.L.D.? Why did S.H.I.E.L.D. think they needed an archer? Like, these are the questions that we want answers. What happened in Budapest? Like, I don't even care, but that's a question. But instead, we are getting, and I know where this is going, and I'll talk about this at the end, but like, Kate was a great character in her own right. She was amazing. She went through trauma. She overcame it by herself, became a hero with the Young Avengers. She stood up to Captain America. But I guess that's all irrelevant now, because sidekicks.
Well, do we know for a fact that she's going to be a sidekick?
I mean, if she's going to be his, it was marked as like he's training her to be the next Hawkeye kind of a thing. So she probably is going to start out as a sidekick or as a protege that wants to prove herself to the mentor, because we need that for some reason. And I think this is, I'm genuinely worried that this is going to do a disservice to her character, especially because at Comic-Con, they revealed the like opening, like an animated opening that is based off Fraction's run on Hawkeye, which I do own. But Kate Bishop has been ruined. She has been. I'm sorry. They took we can do an entire episode on Kate Bishop and the Young Avengers, which I think we will eventually, but
yeah, we're just starting off. We're only on episode 3. There's about 6,000 more episodes we can do.
All right. In which case, we're gonna move on. But here's the Hawkeye series. It is coming out in the fall of 2021. And then we have Thor 4, because the other three were so good.
Okay, Ragnarok was the best one of the three.
Which isn't saying much, but yes.
If it wasn't for Thor Ragnarok, Hemsworth may not have done Infinity War and Endgame.
That's fair, but that doesn't make it a great movie. It makes it a slightly okay movie. It was funny, don't get me wrong. I like a good comedy, but it lacked a little bit more seriousness that was necessary, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Even, you know, it's called Ragnarok. And so for this, we have Taika Waititi, who directed Ragnarok, coming back to direct Thor 4, which is called Love and Thunder. And it's got a very, like, He-Man-esque, like, in, like, opening title, which was really interesting. Some people are speculating that this is not the actual title. We'll see. But, Tessa Thompson, who played Valkyrie, is coming back, and as the new King of Asgard, she's very excited to find her queen. Right on. And then Natalie Portman came out on stage holding Thor's hammer. Because we're getting Thor! Jane Foster, because that was, like, such a good comic. No, it wasn't. It sucked. The whole thing didn't make any sense. Thor was annoying. I'm sorry, not sorry.
So one of the interesting things, because I was in a 7-hour car ride coming home from North Carolina, shout out to Wilkes Comic-Con. Thanks for having me and the guys there this past weekend. we will be back next summer, July 18th, 2020. One of the things, like, because we had time to kill. So we actually talked about this one, and my friend Ben brought up a really solid point about this, is that in the comic, when Jane wields Mjolnir, she becomes the embodiment of what Thor looks like, you know, yeah, with the armor and everything like that. However, in the MCU, when Captain America got Mjolnir in Endgame, he was still Captain America, but he was able to wield it. So one of the questions, and it's a good question to ask, is when they go into this, is Jane Foster still going to look like Jane Foster, or is she going to have a Thor-esque look to her?
Oh, I have a better question for you. Steve had to put Mjolnir back where Thor found it in the events of Dark World.
Yep.
And Mjolnir was destroyed by Hela in Ragnarok.
Yep.
So,
welcome to the multiverse.
Are we making a new hammer? Is this an alternate version of Jane Foster? All questions that we will find the answers out for November 5th, 2021.
And not only that, but that's the fact that we have these questions, though, is a good thing. You know,
let's just hope she's not as annoying as she is in the comic version. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, we'll find out. We now know we are definitely in the multiverse now.
Which means literally anything is possible, and everything we know and love has been crushed into a million pieces and recycled.
Yeah. So we'll find out. I mean, we're also 2 years and 3 months away from Thor 4. So there's a lot that's going to happen between now and then. So,
all right. And with that, our last official announcement that was like the official like movie announcement is the much anticipated Black Widow movie. This is how excited I am about it.
Now, see, you and I, we talked about this on my podcast, The Experience,
mm-hmm,
about the Black Widow, solo film, because she dies in Endgame. Obviously, we got an answer to the fact that this is, a prequel, which I had stated on the podcast before, that it doesn't make sense to do a prequel because you're so far ahead of it now, and you're so past the Infinity Saga now at this point. Why do you want to go backwards when you could go?
As a friend pointed out, some of the decisions that Marvel has made here, Hawkeye and Thor, or Hawkeye and Kate, Black Widow movie, the Loki series, it kind of seems like they're definitely appealing to certain aspects of fandom that wanted these things.
And it's fine
and
that
demanded fans loudly these things.
Hey, you know what is something? Do you know what we found out over the weekend? When Disney bought Marvel, they paid $4 billion for it.
Yep.
Since that time, they've made $18 billion. I think they can afford to do the fan service a little bit.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Given that, it just proves that they don't need to pander. Like, yeah, we will still go see these movies. I guess that's why they're making Shang-Chi and the Eternals, which are relatively unknown characters. So I guess maybe they're trying to balance out giving the fans what they want with what they're actually planning. I don't know, but I'm not psyched for this. Natasha Romanoff is a much better character in the comics than she ever was in the MCU. And it's nothing against the actress. It's just inconsistent writing, and she just shoots things and crushes people's heads with her thighs. Like, she's kind of boring.
Well, and I think that might be the thing that could help her with this, is that if she gets her own solo film and it's not just about those two things, this could be the quote unquote send off for her. Cause I believe in theory that this is her last film with Marvel.
Thank the Lord. But anyway, so this is an origin story. We are told that Rachel Weisz is going to be in it. She's playing a character named Melina. David Harbour is going to be there. He's playing Alexei, aka the Red Guardian, which, like, okay, that does kind of make me excited. Florence Pugh is going to be playing Yelena, who is technically in the comics another Black Widow, and it was kind of hinted that she's going to be like the big sister mentorship character. O.T. Fegbenla, if I butchered that, I apologize profusely, as Mason. So they did show, I think, a little bit of like a teaser trailer for it.
Yeah, it said Feige surprised the audience with the first footage from Black Widow, which is currently in production.
And it has a female director, which is always cool. And yeah, this is actually, but the funny thing is although we're talking about it last, this is actually the first and earliest film that we will see out of this lineup of Disney Plus and movies. This is coming out May 1st, 2020.
Yep.
And we're not done yet. There's still a couple of things. They did confirm that there's going to be a sequel, which, like, we already knew this was happening, but, like, it's nice that they confirmed it.
Captain Marvel 2, we knew about it. Guardians of the Galaxy 3, we knew about it.
Black Panther 2, we knew about it. But there is one surprise in there. And
let me announce it. Let me announce it.
Go for it.
I need to announce it. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, they announced that Oscar winner Mahershala Ali was announced as the new Blade, which will be most likely part of Phase 5. It's technically the only Phase 5 announcement that was made.
That's not what I thought you were going to announce. There's one other thing, but go ahead.
I'm excited about Blade, damn it. I know you and I were talking beforehand, you're just not into the vampire thing, and that's cool. You know what's funny? I'm not too big into the vampire thing, too, but I do have my select vampire things that I'm into, which is fair. But Blade has always been something that I've been a fan of. I loved Wesley Snipes in the role. I actually really do love what Wesley Snipes said today, and when he was asked about Mahershala Ali. I have time to learn this man's name. So, Ali, I'm just going to say that because it's the easiest part for me to say. I'm so sorry, but I have time to learn your name.
So Wesley Snipes was asked about Mahershala Ali being Blade.
And he was like, first off, everyone shellax. That's what he legitimately said. He said, everyone shellax. It's going to be good. And, you know, he's excited to see what he's going to do. And who knows, we may get like a cameo from Wesley. I think that would be really cool. But yeah, so and one of the great things is that Kevin Feige was like, when Ali called him and says, I want to play Blade, you listen because the man's an Oscar winner. and even Wesley Snipes said, it's like, he loves how this guy acts. He loves how he's able to put emotion into characters. And so that's why Wesley Snipes is really excited about this. So this is technically the first real Phase 5 announcement, but we'll most likely know more about this coming in at
D23. Yep, D23, that's going to be the real thing. But there's one other thing, the thing that Marvel mentioned once after they announced Guardians 2 or 3, Captain Marvel 2, Black Panther 2. There's one more thing. Do you know what it is?
I am Groot.
No, Guardians 3 already knew about. It is the yet another Fantastic Four movie.
That's right. They said they're rebooting both them and X-Men, but they don't have timelines for them.
Fifth time's the charm?
I think, okay, so there's something that can be said here. When Marvel gets properties back, let's be honest, I was never a fan of the Topher Grace Spider-Mans, and I never bothered watching the Andrew Garfield Spider-Mans.
Do you mean Tobey Maguire Spider-Man?
I watched those three, yeah, but I wasn't a fan. But I wasn't a fan of them. But the thing is I love Tom Holland as Spider-Man. But the thing that you noticed is that when Marvel got their hands, albeit for Sony, with the participation of Sony, they're able to do the character justice.
On the other hand, they did sacrifice certain aspects of a certain other Spider-Man to booster up Peter Parker, and I just never appreciate when we take something from someone else in order to bolster another character. But
yeah, but the thing is at the end of the day, though, is that they're able to make someone like me, who didn't care about the character, care about the character. And we can possibly, and give it time, Fantastic Four and X-Men are going to be a while. It's not going to be anytime soon.
Which is good, because it'll give them time to properly figure this out. And
if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be Marvel Studios under the Marvel Studios banner. Not some Fox has it, Marvel is going to help them develop it type deal.
And we do still have one more Fox X-Men film coming out. That is New Mutants, which is finally being released, what, this fall? You think?
I thought it was canceled.
I thought it was just postponed.
I thought it was outright canceled.
They filmed it.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything. The Rock's, remember the video game Spy Hunter, the car driving game?
Nope.
They filmed a movie for it. It's done. It's completed. It's been completed since, like, I think 2006.
Nope, August 2nd, 2019, New Mutants movie's coming out. I find it weird that, like, I'm online a lot through blogging, through social media, etc., and I've yet to see any promotional material for this movie. I think Fox just doesn't care anymore, which is really sad because, granted, though, I don't know who takes a cute little comic like New Mutants and decides, oh, we need to set it in a horror asylum. But, you know, and I've still yet to see Dark Phoenix. I don't care about Dark Phoenix. I think Fox should just send a giant apology letter to Chris Claremont for butchering his amazing creations and wonderful storylines and just let it go.
Yeah.
And set it adrift peacefully towards the Marvel Universe.
But one thing that did come out over the weekend, Marvel related, but was not announced at the thing. Mm-hmm. Deadpool 3 is happening. Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. I never really knew that was happening.
Well, so what was supposed to happen, and as it was mentioned, Ryan Reynolds is the only person coming over from the whole Fox thing as his character, because let's just be honest, he is Deadpool. He is Deadpool. What was supposed to happen, they were actually supposed to do the X-Force movie first, and then down the road do the Deadpool 3 movie. Obviously, with the whole Fox Disney thing, that changed a lot of things. X-Force ended up getting canceled / put on the side burner or back burner, and now Deadpool 3 is going to be getting worked on.
I mean, hopefully that means they can fix some of the issues of Deadpool 2 that makes X-Force slightly difficult to make into a movie, considering at least, you know, one character that was on the X-Force team was killed in Deadpool 2.
Nightstar?
Shatterstar, first of all.
Oh, Shatterstar, yeah, my bad.
Also, but honestly, like, if Deadpool 3 gives me Richter and Shatterstar, I will praise the Lord thy Ryan Reynolds. But it'll be interesting to see what Marvel does now that they've acquired or are in the process of acquiring the rights back to these amazing characters. I would love to see them focus on literally not Charles and Eric. Like, I love Magneto. He is my homeboy. I have a water bottle that has the Magneto M symbol. It also has a picture of Magneto that says, I've been at the mercy of men following orders. Never again. Like, I love Magneto. Magneto is my man. But enough, like, Lord Almighty, just can we just either give me Kitty Pryde not being a side character, not having somebody else's powers, give me a little bit more of New Mutants, give me Forge, like, I would love to see Forge, give me, like, heck, any of the random moments of time travel that exist in the X-Men continuity of iffiness. Give me those young, like, X-kids and, like, Generation X and the, like, give me Danny Moonstar. Like, give me more of that. Well, I already said New Mutants, but Okay. So I hinted a little bit that we'd talk about this with like the Hawkeye Kate thing, but with WandaVision here, the Kree and the Skrulls are already introduced. We are getting WandaVision with some shenanigans and a multiverse, which I'm guessing will probably lead into something from the comics. And then we've got Kate. There were rumors. So before the convention, before the panel, there was a fake leak, quote unquote, allegedly fake leak that showed Marvel's plans for movies up to 2024. Fantastic Four was on there. Black Widow was on there. All the sequels that we know of were on there.
As Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Yes, which, let's be honest, is probably what it'll be called. But the reason that I was suspicious of it, first of all, is they had Young Avengers on it, which, like, great. This is, like, my favorite comic in the entire world. It is, like, if anybody follows me on my blog, you know this is my favorite comic because I rant about it, like, every other day. And I've got Billy as my icon on there. So, obviously, I love this character a lot, and I love the comic. But they spelled Young Y-U-N-G, and, like, look, you can give Marvel a lot of flack, but their posters are never misspelled. So, that made me suspicious. But going off that, there were rumors earlier this year and last year that Marvel was in the process of adapting the first Young Avengers comic, which is also known as the best Young Avengers comic, fact. Michael's seen my panels. He knows all about my hatred for other aspects of the Young Avengers. Don't get me started.
Producer's note, Michael has only seen one of Sasha's panels.
All right.
See her at upcoming panels, which will be promoted at the end of the show.
Point being, like, we could make like 5 episodes on this separately, but anyway. Point being that, like, there were these rumors that, so first there were rumors of a Young Avengers movie, I think going back to early 2018. Then later on, there were rumors like, it's happening, it's not happening. And then this year, there were some more substantiated rumors that were saying that, yes, this is being adapted. And specifically, the comic that they're adapting is going to be Sidekicks, which focuses on Billy and Teddy and Nate and Eli and Kate and Cassie, and how Kate and Cassie join the Young Avengers and the origin story of the team essentially becoming a team. And this is all taking place during Avengers Disassembled. So that means if this is to be believed that that Sidekicks is being adapted as a comic or as a movie, then we can understand why Kate is in Hawkeye. That means we're probably going to get Wanda and Vision, hopefully the twins in there somewhere. Do not question how a sorceress and a baby and a robot have babies. Do not question that. Okay. That's gonna give you.
Can you explain the birds and the bees on this one, please?
Do I have to?
Let's save it for another episode.
Let's do that. Cause hey, short version reality warping shenanigans. Let's just leave it at that. So if this is all happening, then maybe Falcon and Winter Soldier can introduce Eli somehow and maybe reveal some of the darker origins of Captain America and the Super Soldier Serum. Maybe Captain, and I hate to say this, but maybe Captain Marvel 2 will introduce Princess Sanel and the actual Captain Marvel that is not Carol and not that weird lady who was gender bent for no reason. Still bitter. But we still have D23, and we'll definitely do another episode as a reaction to that, because there'll probably be further movie-specific announcements, because in this list, there's only been five movies were announced. The rest were Marvel's, the Disney Plus series, so we know there's more movies coming, we know there's more sequels coming, so the Marvel Universe has not released us our souls yet.
I'm just waiting for them to announce the Infinity Saga box set so they can just take my money.
Well, it'll come eventually. It'll be like $300, but it'll come.
Holiday season.
There you go. with that, Endgame is coming out on DVD at the end of the month and then on Blu-ray in August.
No, it's digital.
Oh, digital first, yep.
At the end of the month, and then August 13th, it's on Blu-ray. Anticipate Spider-Man Far From Home to be on Blu-ray around the holiday season. Because if it's coming out in July, you could probably expect it in November, December.
Should be fun. If you haven't seen Homecoming yet, or Far From Home, I do recommend it. I had a blast in the theaters. I swear my brother had to silence me in the theater because we were silencing each other because we screamed at that after credit scene.
So interesting thing. I haven't seen it yet. Every time I've tried to go see it, something has come up. I was supposed to see it last Tuesday.
I don't think you'll appreciate the after credit scene, given what you've told me about.
I've already read about the whole J.K. Simmons thing. And honestly, after reading like some of the interviews about it, it's not the same. Even though he's playing the same character from the Sam Raimi films, it's not the same character as the Sam Raimi films.
Oh, of course not. But it's still J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
And
I have no issue with that. And I also like J.K. Simmons as an actor.
I mean, that's why, see, like, we were mostly freaking out, not just because we love J.K. Simmons, but because, you know, it's great to see J.K. Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson, because he is J. Jonah Jameson. Nobody else could do it justice. But just to see J. Jonah Jameson back in the Spider-Man universe is such a treat, because... So my brother got me into the Spider-Man video game that came out this year.
Oh, on PlayStation 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, that came out in like March of this year, I believe.
Yeah, so really awesome game if you haven't played it. Highly recommend. But what I absolutely loved about it is these little tidbits of J. Jonah Jameson's radio show. And they are hysterical. And I just, J. Jonah Jameson is such a... I don't know. He's a colorful character, and he's such a fun character to hate because it's just so easy to hate him. And again, this just hints to me at the future of Young Avengers, because J. Jonah Jameson appears in the first few panels of that comic, but...
Yes.
That was pretty interesting.
That's funny. I got invited to go see it, Spider-Man Far From Home tonight, but we're recording.
Just never works out for you. That was not meant to see Spider-Man again.
Well, the other thing is that last Tuesday we were originally going to record.
Yes.
But then I got stuck on the train for 3 hours trying to come home from work. And I went, the hell with this. I didn't get home till like 8 o'clock at night and Eastern time. And so I was frustrated, hungry, and
bitter.
Angry. Yeah. Hungry. I think I said that one already, but screw it.
It's worth mentioning twice.
Yeah, exactly. I was really, when you're on the train and you're at dinner time, yeah, you're going to be hungry, especially when you have no snacks on the train. But yeah, so like I was trying to hit it up on a weekend. I'm recording Power Dorks 5 episodes a clip, you know? So it's like, it just hasn't been in my favor right now.
This is semi-connected to San Diego Comic-Con, but it does bear mention since we do have time. Hasbro also made an announcement that made me very happy. They are rebooting they're making another Power Rangers movie while completely ignoring the last one.
So I'm going to tell you this right now.
As
a day oneer of Power Rangers.
Me too.
As a day oneer, I actually did like... Despite some of its flaws, I did like Power Rangers.
I know a lot.
And I'm going to say this right now. If they don't cast me as Tommy Oliver, they're wrong.
Because somehow I think you'll survive with the inevitable disappointment.
Because if I shave the beard, which you can't see because this is in video, I look like Tommy Oliver. With the hair down.
No, he doesn't. Sorry, guys.
He's Shut too up, Jewish. Woman.
too Jewish.
Come on, we could do a Jewish Tommy Oliver. We could do this.
Okay, look, unpopular opinion. Can we move on from the original five?
So here's the thing. When they do this reboot of Hasbro, which they openly admitted is probably not going to be for a while, too.
Yeah, Oh, that's okay.
Which is fine. Although I really did like the casting choices for Power Rangers. I enjoyed it. We can have a difference of opinion. It's okay. It's okay.
I will say I didn't mind some of the casting choices. I really liked the actors who played Billy and Zach. They were really great. The actor who played Jason is a great actor, but I like my main issues with it weren't so much the actors as it was the portrayal of the characters. And that's not on the actors, that's just on the barely there writing.
Oh, I loved Billy though.
Billy was the best.
Billy was awesome. But with Hasbro stating that it won't be for a while, one way or the other, you're going to get original five. And then eventually Tommy. And I know to some people that's a disappointment, but the reality of the fact is this, is that you got to also cater to your old school base as well. And that's,
I know, but...
And here's the interesting thing, because I've been to Power Morphicon, which is the ultimate Power Rangers convention here in the United States. It is the only one that is actually associated with Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Originally with Saban, now with Hasbro. And the crazy thing about Power Rangers is that the fandom is literally two different levels. You have the generation of now, and you have the old school. And what Hasbro now has to try to do, now, while with Super Mega Force, Saban tried to cater to that.
I'm sorry. I'm going to cut you off right there. Saban did not try. This was the worst effort to try to appeal to the base of the OG gang that I have ever seen.
Yeah.
This was marketed as an anniversary, super secret, super amazing team up. And everybody got screwed over. The actors that ended up coming back got screwed over. The actors who were not invited got screwed over. And the fans got screwed over.
Yeah. But the thing is, though, is that Hasbro, and we saw it with the season 2 trailer for Beast Morphers, where you have Austin St. John coming back as Jason. And you have, and while that's the only one that they physically showed in the trailer, we do know for a fact that other Power Rangers are in fact coming back as well. And there is going to be a Dino team up with Mighty Morphin, Dino Thunder, and Dino Charge. And
so I guess that begs the question, and like we're kind of definitely veering off into what could be like its own episode of like.
This is a San Diego conversation.
This is true. Yeah. The question is like, will they actually bring back like any of the cast from Dino Thunder, or are they just going to use the Megaforce cast and use the Legacy Morpher to have Dino?
So here's the thing: we do know for a fact that for Dino Charge, Yoshi.
Well, we knew Yoshi would come back.
Yeah, he's coming. He's coming back. I believe Brennan Mayhew, the Red Ranger, is coming back. For Mighty Morphin, it's just Austin so far. We know for a fact that David Yost has outright said that unless they go union, he won't do it, which, by the way, David Yost, just a note, when the fans ask you to come back and you give us this answer, you're literally saying you don't care what the fans want.
That's and, like, on the other hand, given how much he was screwed over by Power Rangers, I can kind of understand where he's coming from, but it's been 20 years. It's been more than 20 years.
Yeah, he left during Zio, which was 96.
So 23 years later, David, like, we respect you. We understand what you went through. Absolutely no disrespect intended in any way, shape, or form, but, like...
Get the hell over it.
On the other hand, at awesome... When I was at GalaxyCon this past... June, actually literally a month and a half, almost 2 months ago, I did meet with the Seki Yellow Ranger after
Karen Ashley.
She and I did talk a little bit about, you know, some of the things that were going on behind the scenes and how, you know, they really did get screwed over and the Rangers keep continuously being screwed over. And I said, has anything changed? And she goes, no, because the move to New Zealand wasn't just about saving Disney money at the time. It lets them get away with more crap. It's sad what is happening. And I can definitely understand where David Yost is coming from, because the things that these actors do and sometimes having to perform their own stunts and all this jazz, is they really do deserve better. They deserve a lot better.
And I understand that aspect too, but at the same time, but when the fans keep begging you for like however many years we've been begging them to like, hey, we want to see you do this, to just go, oh, well, they're not union. You're literally using the union as a cop-out.
Maybe he just doesn't want to come back and just doesn't want to let the fans know that he doesn't want to come back. And again, like, given the things that he went through, I can understand. One would hope that after 20 plus years, he would be in a better place to come back.
But not only that, but a lot of the people that were there when he was aren't even there anymore.
Exactly.
That's the other thing. It's like, I mean, you may have a stay over here or there because, like, Mark Richardson, who was the prop guy for Power Rangers for like the first several seasons. He's not there anymore. He's doing other stuff now, you know? And like, and that's just one example, you know, so many people that did the show when he did it are most likely not even there anymore. So it's like,
he just doesn't want to come back and he just wants, but then again, like if you're done with Power Rangers and you're over it, then like, why do you continue to do the conventions? Like money?
Yeah, he's under, I'm going to take a lot of shit for this, but he's with Galactic Productions, so yeah, it is about the money. There's a reason why David Yost, Walter Jones, and Austin St. John are considered the three most overexposed Power Rangers. It's not Jason David Frank.
Really?
It's those three. Do you know why? Because Galactic Productions just shoves them down everybody's throat. There was literally a span of 4 years consecutively where I was at a convention with Walter Jones and David Yost.
Interesting.
So, yeah. There's also a reason why they say, like, a decent amount of the Star Trek Next Generation cast, like Marina Sirtis, is overexposed because they're under Galactic Productions.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, final little tidbit there. I'm probably going to take a lot of shit for saying that, but you know what? I've seen how it works. I've been behind the scenes. I know which agents I like. I mean, their agent's a great guy. I like the guy personally. I just don't like some of the business practices. That's all.
That's understandable. So. Hopefully this movie, this upcoming new season, I haven't really watched this new season of Power Rangers. I've heard mixed things.
Hasbro's first go with the show. So I like, and for people who know with Power Dorks, which we've just released our third episode on Saturday, and then we're recording episodes 4 and 5 tomorrow, and then recording the next 5 episodes on Saturday to get ourselves back on track. Like, we've made it known, like, I've seen all the way up to the end of, I think I stopped at the end of Super Mega Force, so I need to watch Dino Charge, Super Dino Charge, Ninja Steel, Super Ninja Steel.
Okay, so I am, in that scope, I am ahead of you by like a season-ish, because I finished Dino Charge and Dino Super Charge. I'm just calling, you know what, I'm not calling it by super dorky names. It's
I'm
not doing it. So I finished,
I like Dino. How Hasbro went with for Beast Morphers Season 2, they didn't go Super Beast Morphers.
Thank God for that.
They didn't go with the super, but actually, to be honest, though, I actually did, when it aired on Nickelodeon, I did actually watch the majority of Dino Charge. It's just that when they do that mid-season break.
Yeah.
When they do the mid-season break, they always do it. They always come back at the worst time for me because that's when all the convention stuff is happening for me.
So I did, I'm trying to think, I saw a few episodes of Ninja Steel and I was just not, it just wasn't there. I saw enough episodes to like figure out what was going on, but it was just, it was not, it's definitely on my bottom tier season, like favorite season list. And out of all of the like Saban and like Neo Saban era, it's, I think Dino Charge is definitely out of like, granted most of the Neo Saban era ones sucked a lot, but Dino Charge was kind of like the diamond in the rough on that one. And
but then they found a way to screw it up with Super Dino Charge.
I mean, for the most part, it was fine up until the end. Yeah. Like, I didn't even mind Dino Super Charge. I thought they were going to go with it in a slightly different direction. And we should definitely do more Power Ranger related stuff, because I can talk about Power Rangers all day. In case I wasn't nerdy enough already for you folks. But there's a lot that can be said about it. And I only watched the first like two. Usually I just wait till they come out on Netflix, not gonna lie. But the first couple of episodes of this new one, Beast Morphers, that I watched was really interesting. I think that Power Rangers overall needs to pick its tone slightly better. But part of that could just be that I'm a 26-year-old woman watching a show that is definitely geared for children.
And I'm a 32-year-old, soon to be 33-year-old.
But at the same time, as a Power Ranger, as somebody with, 25 plus, I'm literally as old as Power Rangers here, folks. And fun fact, and this is completely dorky, but I did not, when I first watched Power Rangers, it was like 1997, I was not in America, and I did not watch it in English. I was watching it in Russian dub in Russia as a kid. So there's a fun tidbit, but there
so were... real quick for fun tidbit. August 23rd, 1993, when the show debuted, right? How old was I?
You're asking me to do math?
Yes. I was born in October of 86.
You're seven.
Yeah.
Ugh, math.
So I was 7 years old when Power Rangers debuted. I am not what you would consider a lifelong Power Rangers fan. I am what you consider a Power Rangers lifetime fan.
Why are you making that?
Because I've been around since the beginning of... I was around before there was Power Rangers. And the reason I say that is because you know about my hockey connection. I am a lifelong Washington Capitals fan.
The best team ever!
My father is a Flyers lifetime fan because my father was 9 or 10 years old when the Philadelphia Flyers came into the league. So, same scenario. You are a lifetime Power Rangers fan because it's been your entire life.
Well, not really, considering, again, I was born in 93, but I didn't see it until 97 because it wasn't in circulation in Russia.
But you know what I'm saying, though.
Yes.
But I'm a Power Rangers lifetime fan because I've been around since Power Rangers. I was around before Power Rangers started. So that.
Congratulations. You're old. Do you want a cookie?
Hold on. Crap. Oh, do you have 30 bucks so I can finally buy my Girl Scout cookies from my mom?
Yes, let me give you these $30 all the way to Massachusetts. Like, there you go. No, I don't actually. But the point that I was making before you made me do math is the fact that like Power Rangers as a series is just iconic. And there were seasons that went dark for various ways or that were more serious. We had Time Force. We had RPM
Which, by the way, RPM is going to be in Beast Morpher Season 2. It has been confirmed that Dr. K is coming back.
I really enjoyed RPM. I know that like the second half of the show, the showrunner changed and things kind of didn't go along with the original vision.
They did an episode of just behind the scenes stuff, which Ed and I have already agreed that when we finally get the RPM, that is the one episode we're going to skip because it has absolutely nothing to do with the story of the show.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's an interesting episode, but it's definitely like beyond the scope of filler. But I can talk about Power Rangers all day. But I'm trying to think if there's any other important announcements that relate to nerdness that are important. Young Justice Season 4 was confirmed, which is great.
Batman Beyond 20th Anniversary Remaster for Blu-ray. Guess what I'm pre-ordering for my birthday present because it comes out in October? Batman Beyond, that's what?
We already knew about Soviet Superman.
All the small, Crisis Infinite Earth announcements.
Yep, all of the CW shows, the last season of Arrow and all that jazz, The Flash, Supergirl, and what will be a truly atrocious Batwoman series. I said it here, and I've said it now. It's going to be the dark and gritty version of Supergirl. Just watch. Just watch.
The Picard trailer.
Oh my God, the Picard trailer. Seven of nine.
So interesting thing. So we're sitting in the hotel room in North Carolina on Saturday, in between the convention and the convention's drink and draw event, which was like the unofficial end of the con. And we're sitting in the hotel room, Ben, Jordan, and I, and we're actually watching the trailers like on our phones. Like I watched the Harley Quinn DC Universe trailer, which I thought was amazing. That just sold me on wanting to get DC Universe to watch the Harley Quinn series. But we were watching the Picard one, and when we heard Jeri Ryan speak as Seven of Nine, Ben, and here's the one F-bomb, Ben went, "Oh, fuck off," in his strong British accent, and here's why.
I love Seven, and I love Jeri Ryan.
But it was the way she said it that pissed him off.
This is true.
That's why he said what he said.
But here is the thing, though. This is like 20 years later after, you know, Voyager comes back to Earth. There's no way she's going to be the same old post-Borg drone Seven. Like, 20 years, people change. Accents change. And we know... In the last season of Voyager, we know that she was exploring her humanity and she wanted to be more than she was presently capable of being. So I understand being upset, but I also understand why the Seven is not going to be exactly like the Seven we remember. But that doesn't mean it's not going to be great. And I freaking love Seven of Nine. I'm so excited for this.
Yeah, so you had the Picard trailer, you had the Top Gun Maverick trailer, which I was just kind of like ant on. The Jay and Silent Bob reboot trailer, which I'm a little excited for, but that's also for other reasons as well. I'm trying to get into Kevin Smith's hockey league, hint, hint. There was one other thing that got really... Oh, Doom Patrol for DC Universe got announced for season 2 renewal.
No, I heard that was good.
Yeah, I heard that was good.
Something for Teen Titans as well, the show.
I believe so. I'm blank. Oh, and the HBO Watchmen trailer was released.
I saw parts of that, and then I remembered I don't care about Watchmen.
I only saw bits and pieces, but I am intrigued by the show. I'm one of the few people who actually liked the movie. But yet again, as my one friend Rachel has said, Michael, you have an affinity for loving horrible movies.
I mean, I didn't like the movie or the comic, if it makes you feel better.
It's okay. It's okay. Pat on head. I'm like patting your head on the screen. But
careful, I bite.
Kinky. But anyways.
Not like that. Jesus.
But yeah, so the Watchmen trailer was released. I think there was also another HBO trailer. Like something like This Is Dark or something like that. It was like a sci-fi trailer. I didn't watch it. It didn't grab my attention. But yet again, we're also talking about San Diego Comic. Oh, yes, the Game of Thrones fan panel. The utter destruction of the Game of Thrones showrunners.
Who conveniently were unable to attend at the last minute.
Yeah, because they knew that they're going to get their asses chewed out by the fans in the Q&A session. So, I mean, I don't blame them, though, at the same time. I mean,
I would have rightfully deserved it, but I don't care about Game of Thrones. Wasn't my thing.
So, when we're done recording, because people ain't going to be able to see it because we're audio. But I have something really cool. Or actually, two things that are really cool that I need to show you.
It's a toy Megazord?
I need three.
Yeah, obviously. It looks like it's 26 years old.
We'll talk about that later, though. That was one of my beautiful finds at Wilkes Comic Con.
I mean, like I said, I could do like one episode each talking about each season of Power Rangers. Just because Power Rangers is amazing.
Yeah, you want to join Power Dorks? Although we work on an episodic set.
Wait, I'm sorry. Are you saying you're reviewing like episode by episode?
Yeah, that's what Power Dorks is.
I don't know if I have the patience for that necessarily.
How's this? Well, we do specific episodes. If there's specific episodes you want to talk about, we could probably work something out.
Deal. Get me in there. Where are you guys at? Still on Mighty Morphin Season 1?
Mighty Morphin Season 1, Episode 3 just dropped on Saturday. We've had a couple recording snafus. So for people who are listening, something to know. We try to run schedules. Sometimes things happen, like Michael being stuck on a train for 3 hours. Ed, who I do Power Dorks with, lives in California, so he's 3 hours behind me. Imagine trying to schedule that around everything else that I do. So if I say, hey, I want to do something at 7 o'clock at night on Saturday, Eastern time, that means we need to try to record around 10 a.m. his time. You know, so it's like you got to do that type of scheduling. You and I have had some scheduling conflicts. There was one day where we tried to record where literally the internet was out. Like Comcast had an outage like nationwide.
That's
right. And I didn't have internet the entire day, so we just couldn't record. So there's just stuff that sometimes it's just out of your control and you just can't have. It just happens. You just deal with it. So that's actually why we're behind. And that's why we're doing a double recording tomorrow, the 5 record, and then we're going to go to our scheduled every Saturday 5 episode recording sessions.
Well, with that, I think we can send San Diego Comic-Con off for another successful year of making us sit on pins and needles for panels, announcing lots of cool and interesting things, and torturing us with the magic that is the anticipation for these lovely things that have been announced.
And one question.
Yes.
To properly end San Diego Comic-Con for this year, have you ever had the desire to go to San Diego Comic-Con to say that you got to go to San Diego Comic-Con?
Yeah, for sure.
Even if you don't get to any panels.
Yes.
Still be worth it.
Yeah, because, you know, San Diego Comic-Con is the biggest comic book convention in the country. So even if I don't get to sit on Marvel's Hall H panel, I don't care. I can still, you know, do an autograph with a minor celebrity who doesn't get their own panel. I can go see Jim Chung or any of the other amazing artists and writers of Marvel that attend these in DC every year. So
yeah. Let me throw this out there. Is it really still a Comic-Con? With how much media now that they do, because this is the same problem that Baltimore Comic-Con has. Baltimore Comic-Con is becoming more and more media than comics. Despite the fact that, yes, we have the domination of the Marvel films and stuff like that, which are comics, but at the end of the day, it's still media.
Well, that's a good question. Personally, as we end this, I would say that it's not quite as much of a comic book convention as we know it to be. But I think given the fact that so many comic books are still announced and so many writers and artists of comics, whether that's Marvel or DC or Dark Horse or indie publications or any of the other more minor publications that are out there, or even self-published comics, I think at heart it's still a nerd convention. I just think our definition of what falls as nerd has changed, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. All right. So social media and a comic book that is coming out this week that you want people to read.
This week? I don't know about this week, but I have heard interesting things about House of X and Powers of 10 comics that are being released for Marvel, which is supposed to set up the next like 5 or 10 years of X-Men related comic book stuff, which allegedly, and I use the term allegedly, is supposed to bolster and renew and fix the issues of the X-Men comics and get them into, you know, make them great again. We'll see how that works. Oh, poor word choice, but there's that. And shout out to a great indie comic. If you have not read Check Please, please do so, because it is about baking and hockey, and it is adorable, and it deserves all the love and attention.
Wait, you said baking and hockey?
Not at the same time, but it's about a character who plays hockey and bakes, and he's awesome. His name is Biddy.
Social media.
Geekgirl101.tumblr.com, as always, and Geeky Captain on Instagram. You will see pictures of my amazing cat, Mr. Darcy, because I have not taken any other photos recently.
All right. And then you can follow me at TheLindaMom75 on Twitter. And, of course, you can follow the show on txhthockey.com/nerdy-notions. And the comic book that I'm going to tell you all to go check out, it is issue number 1 of 8 for Batman. Wait, what was the full name? It is on my list. But real quick, I'm going to preface this. If you did not read Sean Murphy's Batman White Knight, which came out last year, go read it now. The trade is out. It is completely worth the read. It is an amazing take on the Batman-Joker relationship. And coming out tomorrow is Batman Curse of the White Knight, which is Sean Murphy's sequel to Batman White Knight. That is my pick. Check it out. It is 100% worth it. And again, txhthockey.com/nerdy-notions. Sasha, take us out.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for dealing with our rantings. And thank you so much for amusing us and letting us amuse you with talks of comics and Power Rangers. We'll catch you next time.